Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Look at verse 1, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That means this: don't matter where you look, you will see and find the goodness of the Lord. Do you agree with that this morning?
Yes, sir.
Now, I got to get us out of the tire dump. Boo, boo, boo. And we have got to get on the mountaintop this morning before we're done, all right? Notice, if you would, verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Wasn't that good right there? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You're like, you just read that a second. I know. I'm trying to see if it will get through. Look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now, you and I know the truth. So you and I should automatically be in awe of God. There are a whole bunch of people in our world, in our country, and in our world that do nothing but criticize, make fun, and even say hateful things about God and the things of God. And I will tell you this, one day they will stand in awe of him. Doesn't matter what they say right now. Notice, if you would, verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host, or an army is what he's talking about there. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Are you getting what he is saying in verse 16 and 17? Our protection and our strength does not come because of numbers, or because of our ability, or because of some device, or even something that would defend. Our protection comes from God. Notice, if you would, verse 19. To deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. Notice, if you would, verse 21, we shall rejoice in him because we trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee.
Amen.
All the Bible's good, isn't it?
Amen.
And Psalm 33 is really good. We're going to jump into this this morning. I always say this, I guess, so because I like things different. But this morning, I want to brag on the Lord for a while. I want to remind you, those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, this is what this means to us. This is what God has done for us. This is what we should be doing for God. And I want you to kind of have a victorious picture of salvation and of God this morning before we go. Rejoice in the Lord. By the way, you say, preacher, I got a lot of things going on in my life. The Bible doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. The Bible doesn't say rejoice when things are going good around you. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord. What's wonderful is the Lord never changes. So you can always rejoice in Him no matter what's going on in your life. Lord, we love You. I pray that You'd help us this morning as we simply try to dig into Your Word and just every single word in this chapter, Lord, just to describe it and to show what it means to us that know Christ as our Savior. And Lord, I'm sure in a room this size, there are folks that do not know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts this morning and that, Lord, they will give their hearts to Christ. And Lord, I know that in a room this size, oftentimes folks are a little bit bashful and a little bit hesitant to step out or make a decision. But Lord, I pray that You would so convict individuals that they wouldn't care who's here or who's looking. But Lord, that they would not want to take another chance to head out of this building with the chance that they could die and go to an eternity in hell. Lord, I pray that they would get that salvation settled today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. As I was reading this passage and working on it, I thought about a song. And at the end of our message this morning, Lord Will and Brother Phil's going to sing this song for you. But my wife and I have, I guess you would call it a friend. I knew him kind of well when I was real younger, and I spent some time with him. Many of you know Ron Hamilton, who was also called Patch the Pirate. Some of you would not, some of you do. And he's had a very, a long children's ministry. He writes music, not just for children, but for everyone, but this Patch the Pirate ministry and different things. And Brother Ron Hamilton lost an eye to cancer when he was just a young man. And he obviously wears a patch, and God used that to open up a ministry called Patch the Pirate. But Ron Hamilton has written numerous songs over the years. But when he lost his eye to cancer, he wrote a song called "O Rejoice in the Lord." And as we go through this chapter and we describe why we should rejoice in the Lord, I want Phil to sing that song at the end because I think it's so fitting to put literally this chapter to words of what God has done for us. Number one, this morning, I want you to notice the worship of the Lord. This passage makes it clear that you and I should be involved in the worship of our Savior. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. You are here this morning, hopefully, because you came to worship. That's one of the main things, obviously, we're to do at church. Everything here should worship and glorify and magnify the Lord. Look at verse 1, if you will. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice." Three things here we see are to be involved in worship. Number one is to rejoice. Look at verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. First, we see the method. How are we to rejoice? Second, we see the motivation. Now, what does all this mean? Notice the method. Rejoice in the Lord. That means this. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Part of us worshiping the One who died for us, who purchased redemption for us, who has now made it possible for us not to spend an eternity in hell, but to be able to spend an eternity in heaven with God Himself, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We now have all the reason in the world to rejoice. And we are to rejoice in the Lord. It should not take good things happening around us for us to rejoice in the Lord. It means that even if we're in the hospital getting ready to have surgery, we should be rejoicing in the Lord. It means even if we just left the doctor's office and our heart is broken knowing that we now have contracted some disease or cancer or whatever the case might be, as bad as that hurts and as confusing as that might be to you, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Dear friend, you and I don't have the right method sometimes. We rejoice when we feel we have something to rejoice about. You know what the word rejoice means? It means to replay your joy. Did you know that? Rejoice. In other words, make this clear once again. Repeat. Let it known one more time. The joy that you have in the Lord. Notice the second thing, our motivation. I love this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous." Now hold on. Who are the righteous? Now, the Bible makes it clear, especially in the New Testament, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible gets even more specific than that and says there is none righteous, no, not one. So none of us are righteous. So he says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. What in the world is he talking about? Oh, listen to me, dear friend. This is our motivation to rejoice in the Lord. You know who the righteous are? The righteous are the ones that have believed and placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I get saved, the Bible says we now bear the righteousness of God, which means this. When we get saved, we are not righteous because of the things we have done, because we're sinners. When we get saved, God sees us as righteous because the blood of Christ has covered our sins. The Bible says we literally put on the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at me. Why should you and I rejoice in the Lord? Because we are righteous in the sight of God. We don't deserve that. We haven't earned that. But because of what we've been given through the blood of Christ, that is our motive to always rejoice in the Lord. That means you say, well, I've had some bad things happen to me, preacher. Yeah, but have you ever been saved? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You say, well, yes, I have. Then that means you are righteous in the sight of God, which means you'll get to spend an eternity in heaven with God. So you and I have a lot to rejoice about. Yes. Part of our praise and part of our worship in the house of God is to rejoice even when things are going bad. Notice the second thing that's involved in worship is praise. Not just rejoicing, that means to repeat our joy, but to praise. That means to cast adoration upon the object that you are praising. And our job as Christians is to praise nobody and nothing else but God Himself. Notice, if you would, in the middle of verse 1, for praise is comely for the upright. Notice verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, what does all this mean? Notice this word praising in verse 1 and verse 2. He says, praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Then it says, sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. What does it mean to be comely? That word comely, I didn't say homely. Some of you are like, I know what it means to be homely, all right? I didn't say that. What does it mean to be comely? It says praise is comely, notice this, for the upright. That word comely is the word appropriate. It means that praise is appropriate for the upright. That means this, that those that are upright, those that are believers, it is appropriate. It is in line. It is something that should become natural to you and I to praise the Lord. It's appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Because of what He's done for you. Look at me, dear friend. It is absolutely appropriate for us this morning to praise God because He's been really good to us. You agree with that this morning? The problem is a lot of times there's preaching going on in church, but not a lot of praising. And you go to some churches, preaching's not even going on. You see, I believe that in a church there should be praise and there should be preaching. And if you lack one or the other, then you're not really, I don't think, what the church was designed to be in the book of Acts. But you know what, dear friend? We're not here at church just for me to come up here, run my mouth for a while at you. We're here to praise God because it's appropriate for us to do that. Notice the third thing that's involved in worship is singing. Some of you are going to love this one. Look at verse 2. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Now, I believe this makes it very clear, three different areas about our worship. Number one, I believe that you and I are to participate in singing. We're to participate. Notice, if you would, verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him. Sing unto him. Now, dear friend, you might say, preacher, I am not a singer. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, I believe that the ears of God doesn't hear necessarily whether you can sing good or not. The ears of God hears whether or not you are singing to him. I know a lot of people that could get right up here on this stage and absolutely impress you with their voice, but they're not singing to God any more than a man in the moon. And dear friend, our singing is not, it's not based on whether it's good or not, although that's how you and I often measure it. Our singing is measured by God as to whether or not it is sung to Him or not. So that means that everybody that comes to church, when we sing, that is part of our worship. And God sees, are you worshiping me? With singing, we are to participate. Number two, we are to prepare. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Notice what he says in verse 3. Sing unto him a what? New song. You know what that means? That means before I even show up at the house of God, I want something new to thank God for. I want to do something different for God today. Dear friend, look at me. Our worship and our praise and our singing should not be something that is just a rut. It shouldn't just be a little ritual that we go through. Every time we show up in the house of God, every time we spend time with God in our prayer closet, we ought to sing unto Him a new song. Dear friend, when's the last time that you just said something different to God? When's the last time you just said, Lord, I know that, you know, I kind of go through the ritual and say the same thing sometimes, but God, I just want you to know, you have been really good to me, and there's a lot of things I haven't thanked you for, and God, I want to sing a new song to you today. I want it to be fresh. That's what that word new means. A lot of times you and I, you know what? Our singing and our praise and our joy, it's old and stale, and it's been the same, and we haven't added anything to it, and our heart left it a long time ago. God's been good to us, and He deserves a new song every once in a while. We ought to prepare. You know, a lot of times our prepare means, well, I got to put a suit on. Well, I got to get my church clothes on. Well, it's Sunday, I better go, or a preacher might see I'm gone. Dear friend, you know what? We ought to be to the point we can't wait to get to church because we're going to sing God a new song today. We're going to do something new. You know, we encouraged our special singers, I think it was 2 years ago now. I don't know how they took it. I hope they took it good. But we met with them in January and just asked, you know, this year, it's easy sometimes if I'm on a schedule to sing that, you know what, there's a song I'm familiar with. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to go practice, so I'm just going to sing the same song. And I said, if we're not careful, we're going to just keep singing the same songs every time we sing at church. And it's not wrong. They're good songs. But you know what? God deserves, I believe, some effort. And God deserves us to want to do something different. And I want to give my best. And I want to practice. I want to prepare, sing a new song. And I want to do something. You know what? To church, when we hear a new song and something that's different and something just like this morning, you know, half of you, you might be the kind of people, man, I can't stand anything even sounds bluegrassy. Some of you absolutely love bluegrass. Some of you don't know what you like. And that group got up here today, and it was new, and I enjoyed it. You know what? I don't have to love bluegrass to enjoy what they were singing, because they were singing something about God. And if you love bluegrass, then you were in heaven for a few minutes. Dear friend, quit getting caught up on what you like, and let's get caught up on, hey, if somebody's worshiping God, and it's not something that's out of line or against biblical principles, then I can praise God with it too. A new song. You know what? Sometimes you and I get in such ruts at church. We come in, we do the same thing, we leave, and we go through the same motions, and we do the same things, and it has been so long since we've done something new in our prayer life and new in our worship life, and I'm here to say when you come to church, we ought to be to the point, I can't wait for Brother Nick to get up and whatever we're going to sing, because I want to sing to the Lord, and I want to sing God a new song, and I want God to see that I'm not just thankful because He's God, but I'm thankful because He's done a whole bunch of things for me this week that was brand new. He gives me new mercies every day, the Bible says. He gives us daily bread, which is new. And if He gives us new things every day, then we ought to give Him a new song every once in a while. You didn't count on that when you showed up at church this morning, did you? You're like, what's up with him? I'm on medication. I've had some setbacks this week on my kidney stones. I've been in a lot of pain. There ain't no telling what I'm going to say this morning. You talk about a new song. I got one this morning. I know why people get hooked on medication, by the way. I'm picking with you. My wife will verify I don't like taking pain medicine, and I don't unless I just absolutely have to. But my wife always enjoys it when I do. Because I get real sweet when I take medication, you know, and I'm just like, I love you, Julie. I just love you, you know. I think she starts slipping into my drinks, I think, is what's happening. Notice this. We are to participate. Sing unto him. We are to prepare. Sing unto him a new song. You know what the Bible says? Thou hast put a new song in my heart. Number three, we ought to practice.
Yes, sir.
Now, this might be new because a lot of you don't necessarily participate, but notice what he says. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, this might just be a little bit just to maybe our instrumentalists and those that really have a lot to do in our choir and different things. It's important to practice. It's important to get together. And you know why? Listen to me. It doesn't mean that we're looking and saying whether you're good at that or not, or, boy, I'm going to tell you, you messed up this morning. You need to practice. It's not about that. It's about the fact this is for the Lord, and so we want to make sure that we can do as good as we can possibly do. I'm going to give my best to God. Why is it that it's important? You know, when we come to church, we ought to wear our best. And we ought to look our best because this is God and God deserves our best. And you know what? That comes if you're playing an instrument, if you're singing in a choir, whatever you're doing here at this church, if you're teaching a class, we ought to be as good at it as we possibly can. We should prepare. We ought to practice and we ought to say, God, I might not be the best and I might mess up a lot of things, but it's not going to be because I'm not giving effort. I'm going to give everything I can to give you my best. Dear friends, that's worship. Giving God our best. There's no other way that you can prove to God more that you're worshiping Him than to give Him your best in everything you do. Can I tell you what will create a mediocre church is when people do ministries in a mediocre way. If Sunday school teachers teach class mediocre and choir practices mediocre and we do things and programs and we do it mediocre and we do this and that mediocre, you know what it's going to produce? It's going to produce people that think it's okay to be mediocre to the Lord. Dear friends, we got to give God our best. You know, there might be times that you think, well, I don't know, why do we put stone in the foyer? Nobody's ever said, hopefully you like it. I think it looks great. I think the things we've done, many of you that are new don't know this, but when I first came, this whole thing here was all dark brown paneling. I mean, it was from the 60s or the 70s, whenever it was. I'm sure I love paneling. It's great. There's no maintenance. I know all those things. But it was dark in here and stuff, and we put drywall and made it nice and all these different things. And I'm sure I heard through the grapevine some people say, why would they take down that beautiful paneling? I'll tell you why. Because it looked dingy. And people say, well, bless God, we could have helped missionaries somewhere. Dear friend, this is the house of God. And I want it to be the best that it can possibly be. Amen. We're getting ready to add lights to our sanctuary so that we can see better. Why? Why would we spend the money for that? Dear friend, this is the house of God. Now, listen, the church is not the building. It's the people in it. But I want to do our best, and I want to make it look as nice as it can possibly look. Because when people drive by, I want them to know that Kerwin Baptist Church does their best for God.
Amen.
The scriptural principle, folks. The worship of the Lord. Number two, I got to get off that quick while I still have friends. Number two, I want you to see the word of the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse 4, all the way through verse 9. I love this. For the word of the Lord is. What that means is the first three verses we're told that we ought to be worshiping, and then after that we're told why we should. Notice, for the word of the Lord is right. Listen, I want you to get this morning. Now we're getting away from what we're supposed to do, and we're getting into why we are to worship. Here's what God has done. Number one, I want you to think about His word. Number one, it is right. God's word is always right. Even if you don't agree with it, guess who's right? God's word is. God's word is right. That means this, anything that does not agree with God's word is wrong.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care who said what on TV.
Right. Yes, sir.
You want me to use my favorite again? I don't care what Oprah or Dr. Phil said. God's word is right.
Amen.
By the way, last time I checked, I'm saved, I'm a believer, I'm on my way to heaven, and sometimes there's things I'm wrong on. But God's still right. And His word is right. Notice the second thing, His word is true. Look at this. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. I want you to understand, you don't have to doubt the word of God, folks. It is true. And it has come to pass that we see that the Bible knows things. The Bible prophesied things. years down the road, and I'm going to tell you this, this Bible's more up to date, as we always say, than next week's newspaper. This Bible is right and it's true. Why? Because it is the Word of God. It is not a book. It is a person. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is not just a book. This is God. It's His Word. It's right. It's true. Notice thirdly, it's fair. Look at verse 6. Verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Notice that, righteousness and judgment. I want you to know God's word is fair. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what side of the tracks you were born on, what you have in your bank account or what you don't have in your bank account, what color you are, what nationality you are, it doesn't matter. God's word is fair to all. God doesn't play favorites. God's word doesn't just apply to certain people and it doesn't apply to these people. God's word applies to everybody. God's word is full of righteousness and judgment. He's fair. Notice this, fourthly, for sake of time, more things I wanted to say to that. God's word is powerful. Look at verse 6 through 8. I love this. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them. Who is the host of them? He talks about the heavens, and he says God didn't just make the heavens. He made the host of them. By the breath of his mouth, look at verse 7. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He laveth up the depth in storehouses. Now notice this, speaking of creation, God formed the earth. And not only that, when he brought the flood in Noah's day, he heaped up the waters upon the earth, totally changed the entire landscape of the earth. God created the earth. He changed the earth. He molded the earth. He has taken care of everything. And by the way, I got facts. I don't have time this morning. But in all of our oceans and different things, there are underwater caves, caverns that are literally the size of some of our cities full of water. Notice what he says. Look at this, verse 7. He leaveth up the depth in storehouses. He's got it stored underneath. Why? What's he going to use it for? I don't know. He's God. Notice, if you would, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Now, that means this, the power of God's word. Just to illustrate how powerful God's word is, the heavens were made just by a word from the Lord. Now, verse 6, he says, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Who's he talking about? Guess who the host of the heavens are? It's us. We're the hosts. God made the earth. God made those that live on the earth. Now, preacher, you say, what do you mean God's word made the heavens? Have you even stopped or studied or considered how complicated the heavens are? By the way, for those of you that might not know, there are three heavens. The first heaven is what you and I can stand right here and see. The blue sky, our atmosphere, that's the first heaven. The second heaven is what you and I see as the stars, the Milky Way, obviously the planets and all those different things. There is a third heaven that you and I cannot see, and the most powerful telescopes that they can come up with can't even see beyond the Milky Way galaxy that we are in, and the Milky Way is just one of thousands of galaxies. Let me give you some facts. Let's take Jupiter. Many of you, I don't know if you've seen the news, Pluto, by the way, that they launched a rocket 11 years ago, I believe it was, to go to Pluto just to get a picture. And that thing has been traveling hundreds of miles an hour for all these years just to get to where it could get close enough just to take a picture of Pluto.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.